You may be seated. Let us pray. O Lord our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Our first scripture reading is from the Old Testament. The book of Ruth is a profound narrative of loyalty, love, and divine providence. Ruth 1, 16 and 17 captures a pivotal moment where Ruth is a Moabite widow, pledges her unwavering loyalty to Naomi, her Israelite mother-in-law. Listen for the word of God. But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. When you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." The New Testament reading is from 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 5, and then chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. In these verses, Paul urges us to fan into flame the gift of God. That should sound familiar. And not be timid, but to embody a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline to reject the false teachings of the world. Hear the word of the Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have heard them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jealous for me, love like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so.
He loves us so. How he loves
unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have the time to maintain these regrets when I think about how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves.
That's my favorite new song. Thank you, Karina. That was beautiful. Guys? So now I'd like to read to you the gospel. It's taken from Matthew chapter 15. This is the word of God. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the regions of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. The word of God for the people of God. First Peter chapter 3. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be in the hidden person of the heart, with the uncorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. The incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. This morning I would like to highlight three stories from the Bible which describe beautiful women. These beautiful women are all spiritual mothers who nurture and care. The challenge for you then this Mother's Day is to see yourself in these women, if you are a woman, or to help bring out these characteristics in your wife or mother or daughter if you are a man. Now, I'll have what is perhaps a surprising word for the men at the end, so men, don't tune out. First of all, beautiful women give wise counsel to their daughters. By the way, you could substitute godly woman for beautiful women or spiritual mothers without losing any meaning. In a very, very real way, they are equivalent. In the story of Ruth, Naomi loses all the males in her family, her husband and two sons. She is a Jew living in the land of Lot, Moab, cut off from any family that could help her. She and her two daughters-in-laws, therefore, lost all their status, their protection, and their future. So she is in danger. So she decides to return to her homeland, but this is also a dangerous move. And this is where we see the influence Naomi had on her daughters. They decide to go with her. Now, this was unheard of. They had their own problems. The expectation was that they would find new husbands in Moab or be absorbed back into their families. So coming with Naomi would mean they were at risk also. But they loved Naomi. They also, because of Naomi's commitment to them as a mother-in-law, trusted in her future, her family, and her God. What a tremendous witness Naomi must have been to cause such a level of devotion. Naomi realizes that this devotion was perhaps not in their best interest and tries to dissuade them. She was not comfortable with their decision to come, since it was so much against what the culture had expected of them. But her witness was louder than her warning. So they set off. Naomi's journey was safer because she was traveling with two other women. A woman traveling alone was easy pickings on the road. And there were many unscrupulous thieves and other people. At some point while still in Moab, Oprah listened to Aunt Naomi's pleas and returned. She took Naomi's wise counsel. Ruth, on the other hand, makes a most touching statement of solidarity. Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Ruth's testimony is that her life has been radically altered. Her citizen in Moab has been abandoned. Her chance at a regular family life has been lost. And her life has been turned over to a new God. Naomi's influence extended well beyond that of a normal mother-in-law. It seems that she must have been extraordinary, a beautiful woman, as Scripture describes. Her patience, her kindness, her love of her young daughters-in-law must have so affected Ruth to lead her to such an amazing choice of loyalty, of trust in Naomi's God. I think I can see Naomi leading a simple, God-trusting life, which made her very attractive. Her adornment was rather in the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Naomi was beautiful in the best sense. She allowed her love and care to show through in her life, and her life became a testimony to God. And while she did not see a future upon returning to Israel, her steadfast devotion to Ruth created a resonant devotion from Ruth. You know, I have seen Naomi's around here, and I think they are quite beautiful. They are not the loud ones, necessarily the most made up or coiffed. They are not going about planning new programs or sporting the fanciest clothes, but they are investing in each other's lives. They are fulfilling the admonition of Titus 2 that says that older women are to give wise counsel to younger women in the church. What a beautiful thing it is to see. And so I think that there's this kind of amazing buzz going on. And it lies just below most people's threshold of hearing. It's like an echo of the report that the Romans said about the first Christians. How they love each other. How you all love each other. It's not a showy love, but it's unmistakable. I sometimes wish that all the strangers coming in the door could hear it the way I did so many years ago. I wish they could sense it, because they'd never leave. There's no record of how Naomi presented her God to Ruth. I think, however, she must have given her quite a witness, so that Naomi's heart for God must have shone through. Ruth has already claimed the power of God in her statement, and she seems to be a true believer. The attraction of Naomi's dedication to God must have been very powerful, in that Ruth readily gave up her former gods to serve the true God. You too can have that beauty, the kind of beauty that brings people to God. Just think how wonderful it would be if beautiful women would add to their testimony about their love of Jesus to their wise counsel. You know, these days, somehow it has become taboo to speak of Jesus or faith or even the good news of salvation to anyone. What a shame. So to your gentleness and loving kindness, I would urge you to add a word about your love for Jesus. If you know him and love him, please do not let him out of your conversations. If your hope is tied up in him, don't be afraid to express that hope to those around you. You know, I also see Ruth out there, those of you who have made a commitment to God through the experience of the love of God lived out by another. I know that there are those of you who decided to take the road back to Bethlehem alongside another, to move closer to God by another's side. Just like in Ruth's case, that takes tremendous courage. And just as in Ruth's case, that I hope that God has blessed you by being here in this church. Ruth's story is like your story, one of stepping out in faith, trusting in the advice of godly women to come to a faith that is real, to a redemption that fills the hole in your heart. So Ruth is a spiritual daughter, but also remember, Ruth was a mother. She is one of two women that appear in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 2. Do you remember? And Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David, the king. It appears that Ruth was a godly mother as well, great-grandmother of the king. So just as when Jews say to their daughters, "May you be like Ruth," I also say to the young women out there, "May you be like Ruth." Beautiful women also advocate for their families. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone else to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. As soon as she heard about him, a woman whose daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. This is the beginning of a story. She begged Jesus to drive out the demons of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She left and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. The picture we are presented in this story is of a woman who was not part of Jesus' life and ministry, a woman who was not even a Jew, a woman who had been looked down upon by most Jews. But on this day, she was desperate. Her daughter had been sick and tormented for as long as she could remember. She was desperate to see this man and see if he could do what people really said. She had heard he would be in town, and so she sought him out and walked into the house where he was staying. Think of the boldness. She came and fell at his feet. The fact that she came and went face down in the dirt in front of Jesus indicates two things. First, she was paying homage to him. She was showing her profound respect to him, even though she didn't know him except by reputation. Not only was this a sign of worship, but second, it was also a sign of abject pleading. She was falling on the ground in front of Jesus because, from her perspective, her last hope for the redemption of her little girl who had been possessed by a demon was from the touch of the man in front of her. Beautiful women are persistent. Notice what this woman did. Mark tells us she just kept asking Jesus to cast out the demon from her daughter. She didn't come and just say, "Oh, Jesus, please heal my daughter." She was persistent. She was begging. She asked over and over again. This woman was so committed to the rescue of her daughter that she simply would not take no for an answer. Jesus was not quick to answer her petition. He allowed her to repeat it over and over again. And finally, when he did give an answer, it seemed to be harsh and insensitive, at least on the surface. But notice how the woman responded to what Jesus said. There was no protest. When he said, "We feed the children first and not the dogs," the woman responded, "Yes, Lord." She didn't allow Jesus' comment what could be interpreted as dismissive to sidetrack her. She didn't stand up in protest and say, "How dare you insult me and speak to me as if I were a dog? I am a woman." That was not her response. Her response was, "Yes, Lord, I understand. I have no prior claim to your mercy. I am not numbered among your children. I can't jump up on the table and feast upon the food that you set before your children. I don't want that. I'm satisfied, Lord, with the crumbs. All I'm asking is that you would just let one crumb that falls from your table come into my mouth, and I'll be satisfied. Heal my daughter, please. I know she's not in your family. I know she's not numbered amongst the children. We are the dog who wait for crumbs, but one crumb is all I'm asking for." Do you see? She had faith to put up with what might have been insulting to her in order to advocate for her child. And so you see, beautiful women advocate for their families before God, before friends, before enemies, before the courts, even though that may come with indignities. Finally, beautiful women bring up their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Paul had asked a lot from young Timothy. He left him in charge of a largish community of faith and continued his missionary journey. In writing back to Timothy, he expressed his confidence in him because of the influence of his mother and grandmother. It is apparent that his grandmother and mother brought their child up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Now that phrase comes from Ephesians chapter 6, and it means to raising a child with deep reverence for God and under his guidance and correction. Here's a breakdown of what that entails. Instilling the fear of the Lord. This involves teaching the child to have awe, respect, and reverence for God's holiness, power, and authority. It's about helping them understand who God is, his love, his justice, and his sovereignty, and fostering a desire to honor him. Now, practically, this can include teaching them about God through scripture and prayer, modeling a life of faith and obedience to God, encouraging a personal relationship with God where the child learns to value his presence and guidance. What about raising in the admonition of the Lord? Well, admonition refers to instruction, correction, or discipline rooted in God's truth. This means guiding the child according to biblical principles, helping them to discern right from wrong, and correcting them lovingly when they stray. This includes teaching biblical values and morals as a foundation for decision making, discipling in the way that reflects God's justice and love, aiming to build character rather than punish, providing consistent guidance through God's word to shape their worldview. Notice this approach to parenting involves creating an environment where faith is lived out daily through family devotions, church involvement, and continuing conversations about God's role in their lives. It emphasizes balancing love and discipline, ensuring the child grows in both reverence for God and understanding of his teachings. The ideal is to equip the child to live a life that pleases God, rooted in faith and moral integrity. Once again, I know women in this church who have taken on this ministry with joy and have seen the fruit of the Spirit growing in the young people of this church. They are truly beautiful as they act. So beautiful women nurture and instruct their children in knowing and loving God. So what about us men? Well, I hope you were paying attention, because everything a beautiful woman does, men of honor are responsible for all it also. In fact, it falls to us to make sure that both we and our beautiful women are following through on the responsibilities to see that we train up a child in the way he should go. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is in this house this morning. You may not feel like you measure up as a Christian parent, and you may not yet recognize yourself in these biblical characters. But one thing I am confident of is that God led each of us here today, and he knows our hearts even better than we know them. I know that the Holy Spirit who is inside you will lead you into all righteousness, including those that are characteristic of Christian and godly parents. So seek him throughout this day and the next. Ask him to touch you and empower you, and you will find that he meets your deepest needs. And guess what? You will be beautiful. Let's pray together. Lord God, we come to you this day because we have a desire to worship you. We honor our mothers before you today because we know that our mothers are the examples which bring us to you most readily. We know that godly women who speak of you and give wise counsel are the people who affect us the most. And so, Lord, we ask that you would continue in this church to provide that kind of a ministry. You would provide us with all of the responsibility of raising children, that you would provide us with all the responsibility of speaking to the young women of the church, that you would provide us with the responsibility for seeing into each other's lives and living into each other's lives so that we might together worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please now stand and sing the hymn of dedication?